Memches Amid Beis. We saw the Mishnah and the first sugya in the Gemara. The Gemara has three categories. There's a case of a kos of mayim, and there his das was to be makadish her with the kos. So the kos has to have a shava pruta. Then we have the case of a kos of chamra that has wine in it, and the wine is considered a davar chashuv, it has significance to it. The kos is only there in order to transport, so to speak, to contain the yayin, and therefore the kos is not part of the das makne, and therefore he's only being mekadisho with the wine inside the cup. And if that be the case, then the wine has a shava pruta. We don't care about the kos. She'll have to return the kos to the mekadesh. And the third case is tzira, and that's called tzir shel dogim. Tzir shel dogim is something that can be used, but over the course of a long period of time, and you need the cup not only to transport it, to hold it, but also to be meshamer it, to preserve it. And therefore the assumption is that the das makne of the mekadesh was on both the cup and its contents, the tzir shel dogim and the kos itself. If the combination thereof is worth the shava pruta, then she's mekudeshes. The Mishnah records the opinion of Rav Shimon, who says, im hito l'shevach, harezu mekudeshes. If he told her he was going to give her one thing and he gave her something else, if the something else that he gave her is worth more than what he originally intended or told her, then she is mekudeshes, because she's getting more than what she bargained for. So the Gemara asks, "Vilesle l'Rav Shimon, does Rav Shimon not have a Mishnah in Masechet Bava Basra? If a person sold his friend wine, yayin, v'nimtza chometz, and it turned out to be vinegar, which is worth a lot less than yayin, and there for sure we understand that there's a tos here in the Mechira. But what about the flip case? He sold him chometz, v'nimtza yayin. It turned out that the buyer received wine, which is worth even more. Yishneim yicholim lachzer b'hem. Both the mocher and lokech have rights to rescind their das and to nullify the kinyan. Even in the last case where the kona gains and benefits from the fact that he got wine instead of chometz, nevertheless, he, the kona, has no rights to rescind and to void the kinyan. I'm sorry, nevertheless, he does have rights to void the kinyan. Alma, we see there's a principle here, Ika de nichale bechala, v'ika nichale bechamra. You know, some people appreciate this, and some people appreciate that. Some people want wine, others would prefer vinegar, even though, again, wine is certainly worth more than vinegar, but now that's what he needs. He needs vinegar. You know, if you knock on your neighbor's door, you have to borrow vinegar. That's what you need. The fact that they have wine to give you, which is even more chashiv, is irrelevant, because what you need is what you need. And if that be the case, then even the kona, although he received something of greater value, has a right to say, that's not what I bargained for. I was asking for something else, even if that something else is worth less. His hachinami, if you apply the principle of that mission in Bava Basra to our case here in Kiddushin, Ika de nichale bekaspa, velo nichale de dehava. It's very possible that she would prefer silver to gold. Maybe right now what she needs is silver. She has some sort of a silver piece of jewelry, and she needs a little bit more silver to add to it, to perfect it, to fix it up. And if that's what she needs, that's what she wants. The fact that what she received is worth more, in this case, a dinar of kes of zav, that's not relevant. That's the Gemara's argument here against Rabbi Shimon. And the argument seems to be quite persuasive, because the Gemara now is going to embark on a new reinterpretation of what Rav Shimon's talking about. The Gemara tells us that Omar Rav Simi Barashi Ashkechate Labaye Diosiv Kamazbe Lebrei. Rav Simi came across Abaye, who was sitting and explaining this Mishnah to his son. And Rav Simi was curious as to how Abaye would explain and interpret this Mishnah. Abaye told his son that what's the case in the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon Kigon, Sha'omar Lishlucho Halvedi Dinar Shel Kesef, Velech Vekadeshli Isha Plonis. The Mekadesh did not have any cash. He wanted to Mekadesh a woman. He told the Shliach to put out the money for him, a dinar shel kesef, and go ahead and use it to Mekadesh a specific woman that he mentioned by name. And of course, the Mekadesh is going to reimburse the Shliach for this dinar shel kesef. Veholach vehilva shel zov. And what the Shliach actually did was, he took out a dinar of Zav, and he was Mekadesh and Isha on behalf of the Mishalech. Says Abaye, that's the subject of the Machlokas between the Chachomim and Rav Shimon and Rav Mishnah. Mar Sov, according to the Chachomim, Kpeda, he had in mind when he appointed the Shliach to be Mekadesh with the Dinar Shel Kesef, and he doesn't agree to be Mekadesh with the Dinar Shel Zav. And therefore, the Shliach is not a Shliach, and the Kedushin is not valid. Umar Sova, Rabbi Shimon on the other hand holds, Mare Mokom Hu Lo, that the Meshaleach was telling the Shliach, you know what, I'll make it easier for you. Here, let me help you out. All I need is a Dinar Shel Kesef. He wanted to make life a little easier for the Shliach. But in fact, if the Shliach does not have a dinar shel kesef, but he has a dinar shel zav, he has rights, according to Reb Shimon, to use a dinar shel zav to mekadesh the Isha. And in such a case, Rabbi Shimon, in our Mishnah, maintains that the Shlichus is valid, and therefore the Kedushin is chal. The Gemara asks a number of questions on Abaye's interpretation of our Mishnah. It doesn't seem to fit in with the meticulous reading of the text of our Mishnah. Ihochi, if Abaye was correct, number one, why does the Mishnah say that he said to the Shliach, or he said to the Isha, his kadshi li, that you should be married to me? If in fact this is a case of shlichus, his kadshi lo mi boile, the correct text would have been, you should be makudish to so and so. Number two, hita l'shevach, the language of the Mishnah is that he, the makadesh, was mata, he misled her into thinking that she was getting X instead she got Y. Hit ahu l'shevach miboyle. It should have said hit ahu, that the shaliach was mata the mishaleach. In other words, it wasn't the makadesh who was mata the isha, which is indicated by the mishnah of hit ahu l'shevach. Hit ahu with the mapikeh means he was mata her. It should have said hit ahu, that the shaliach, in a sense, misled the mishaleach. And furthermore, number three, Nimtza, the Mishnah says, Nimtza shel zav, which sounds like now we found out that it was gold, Meikar nami dezav. It was clear from the beginning that when this Shliach came along, what he had in his hand to give to the Isha on behalf of the Mishalech was a dina shel zav. So what's Nimtza? Ela Amar Rava. Rava says, I will reinterpret this Mishnah, ani, together with help from Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, who's called here by Rava the Ari Shebachabura, the lion of the group, Targimina, which means that he will interpret, or we together will interpret the Mishnah. Manu, who's this Ari Bachabura? That's Rabbi Chiya Barov. And Hachamai Eskina, what's the case? Kigon Sha'amra hi Lishlucha. She turned to Hashliach to receive Kiddushin, and she said, she instructed the Shliach, Tzei v'kabel li Kiddushai miploni, receive Kiddushin from so-and-so, Sha'amar li, who said to me, his kadshi li b'dino shel kesef, I would like to marry you with b'dino shel kesef. And that's what she told the Shliach. The Halach, the Shliach went ahead, and what did he receive from the Mishaleah, from the Mekadesh? Nosan lo dinar shel zav. He gave a dinar shel zav. That's the Mekadish himself gave the dinar shel zav. He gave it to the shliach. Is mar zavar according to the chachamim? Is peda. What she wanted to receive from the Makadesh was a dinar shel kesef, and she's mocked and she's careful, that's what she wants. She doesn't want anything more expensive. Umar, Rav Shimon is of the opinion, Savar, Mara Mokom Hilo. She was telling the Shliach to make it easy for him that he can be Makayim his Shlichus with a dinar shel kesef. She's not protesting against Zahav. Umay nimtza. Now we can explain what does it mean nimtza. The answer is the katseir bivlisa. Vlisa is a cloth, and seir means was wrapped up in a cloth. In other words, that when the Mekadesh gave the shliach of the isha a dinar, the shliach didn't see exactly what was in the cloth that was holding on to this dinar. Was it a dinar shel zav, a dinar shel kesef? So at the moment of kiddushin, of the act of kiddushin into the hands of the shliach, there was no awareness of the dinar, what the nature of the dinar. And he, the shliach, assumed, in all naivete, that it was probably made of kesef. It's only when he gets to deliver the dinar over to the hands of the isha, wow, look at this. We open up the cloth, and what do we find? Lo and behold, it's a dinar shel zav. And in such a case, Rabbi Shimon says that she is Mekudeshes. She was just Mara Mokum Hilo. Omar Abai, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, Kulo Svirle Mara Mokum Hilo. This principle in Shlichus, that if the Meshaleach makes it a little easier for the Shliach, but he certainly would be satisfied if the Shliach fulfills it on a more intense level, that principle is adopted by not only Rav Shimon in our case of Kiddushin, but also by Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and Rav Elazar in the Mishnayos that we're about to learn now. Of course, Rabbi Shimon Hadamar and Rav Shimon, we've already studied in the case where a woman tells a shliach that he should receive a kesef, a dinar shel kesef, and he received a dinar shel zav. What's Rav Shimon Gamliel? And here we look at a Mishnah in Baba Basra. The Snan, we learned in the Mishnah. Here we're looking at Mempes Omen Aleph. Get Poshut, Edov Mitocho, Get Mekushar Meachorov. In the Takonis Chazal about how to write a get and what the get should look like, there were two different options. One was called a get poshut. That was pretty simple. It was a flat piece of parchment, and the edim was signed on the bottom, below the text of the get. But they also instituted something called a get mekushar. A get mekushar is where the edim are not signed on the inside, below the text of the get, but rather they're signed on the outside. And Rashi here, which you'll see from the first line on our daf, in a very long presentation, Rashi explains what was the nature and purpose of a get mekushar. First of all, we have to know that a get mekushar was established as a much more complicated kind of get in order to make the process of writing the get actually more complicated and more long, more, to overextended period of time. It's not a simple matter. And this takana was made on behalf of a Kohen who's going to divorce his wife. He gets angry at his wife. He runs to the sofer and says, write me a get. I want to give the get immediately, but keep in mind, when he cools off, he might realize, hey, I just divorced my wife. He can never live with his wife again. Kohen is also Megrusha. So they're attacking a kind of get that would take a long period of time. Again, I don't know how long, but a more complicated get called a get Mekushar. It's very hard. It takes a lot of work to create such a get. And in the meantime, hopefully the Kohen might cool off. Somebody, some mentor or psychologist would have some wise words for him, and he'll sober up. And instead of giving the get, he'll resume his marriage. Now, just to know a little bit about how a get mekushar is made and what it looks like, we're relying on this Rashi. The sofer leaves an empty line on the back, on the top. The top line is completely chalak; it's empty. And on the outside, the flip side of the get, he writes the first line of the get. And once again, he leaves a blank line underneath that first line. And on the back of that empty space, he writes a line of the get. And this is what he does for three, maybe four or five lines, that he always writes part of the get on one side, part of the get on the other. He keeps folding it over so that the various lines on the get will form some sort of integral whole. And then he sews those parts together, and he takes an empty blank line on the outside of the get, the flip side of the get, and he folds it over in such a way that now there's room for the Edom to sign. So again, the Edom are signed on the outside of the get, in the case of get Mekushar, on every single kesher, meaning as the lines are sewed up, that on, you know, right near where those two pieces of the get are connected together, that's where the Edom sign. So on the inside of the get, there are no signatures. The signatures are on the outside. And what happens here if there was a shinui? Let's say a man wants to divorce his wife. He tells the shliach l'ksiva, meaning the sofer, to write a get on his behalf, and he specifies. He asks for a get pashut, where the Edom are signed below the get, and guess what he gets? He gets a get mekushar where the Edom are signed to the outside of the get. He instructs the sofer to write him a get mekushar with the Edom on the outside of the get, and instead he receives a get which is a get pashut Edom mitocha, the Edom are signed on the regular side below the ink. Shneim psulim. According to the Tanakhama of this Mishnah later on in, not in this Masechta, but in Bava Basra, the get in either case is possible. Again, even though ostensibly you could have argued that if the Baal, the Megarish, instructed the sofer to write a get poshut, maybe he was just making it easier for the sofer. In any event, there's a presentation here of the Ramban that the intention of our Mishnah is such that if he writes a get poshut and the Edom are signed on the inside of the get, or he writes a get makusha, the Edom are signed on the outside of the get, may achar shahosif b'poshut Edom me'achorav makusha Edom mitokum shneim psulim. What happened here? There was an instruction to write a get poshut, and guess what? The sofer wrote a get makusha, but in addition to the signatures on the outside of the get, he had the Edom signed on the inside of the get. That's a chacham. Or in the case of a get mekushar, where the Edom are on the outside, he asks the Edom to sign on the inside. And there's going to be a gigantic debate here amongst Rishonim, but we're going to assume, like those Rishonim who say that such a case, the get is possible, meaning even though it might fulfill the requirements of a get mekushar, but it basically is a get poshut or vice versa. So that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. In both cases, the get is possible. Reb Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Mekushar Shekosvo Edov Mitocho, Kosher. If the sofer created a get Mekushar, but he had the Edom signed on the inside, it's kosher. Why? Sheyochal Asoso Poshut. Because if the sofer takes out the tefillos and the krichos and so on, he can stretch out the get, kitsu rosso, make it into a get pashut, and there's no chisaron because the Edom are signed on the inside of the get. Everything depends on what the minig is in that location. If a man tells his shliach to write a get on his behalf, it has to be written in a way that reflects the minog in that place. If the minog is to write a get poshut, that's what has to be written. If the minog is to write a get makusha, that's the way it should be written. And you can't switch it around. any deviation from the minhag ha-medina would pasul the get. Vavinan ba, and in the yeshiva they had a big problem here with the words of Rav Shimon Gamliel, because it seems from his formulation that he wants to disagree with the Tanoim that came before him. And why? Where is there a disagreement? V'tana kama lesle minhag ha-medina. When we say Tana kama, we're referring to Rav Chanina ben Gamliel and the Tana kama before him. Did they reject the halacha of hakol kiminhag ha-medina? After all, they only argue in a case of a get pashut, where the Edom was signed on the outside of a get, or a get makusha where the Edom was signed on the inside of the get. In such cases, they argue that the get is possible. But they didn't deal at all with the case of a shliach, and the shliach decides to change the instruction and aldas atzmo, violate or deviate from the purview of his shlichus. So basically what the Gemara is asking is, I don't understand. The mashmos of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is that he wants to disagree with the other Tanoim that came before him. That means Tana Kama and Rabbi Chanina. But what flag is he waving here? The flag of the principle of Minhag ha-medina, Kol Kiminhag ha-medina, the Tana Kama and Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel should also agree with this principle of Hakol Kiminhag ha-medina. They're just pointing out that that in general, if the sofer was instructed to write a get pashut, and he wanted to write a get pashut, but the only thing is, he had the Edom sign on the outside. That's not a get pashut. Or let's say the sofer wanted to write a get makusha, but he had the Edom sign on the inside. But we're not saying that, you know, if you want to define the instruction of the Baal, the Megarish, to the Kosef HaGet, we'll call him the Sofer, we're going to be oblivious to Minhag ha-medina. There's no reason why the Tana Kama and Rabbi Chanina should reject Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's principle of HaKol Kavinhag ha-medina. Is the Omer Ravashi? Ravashi says the kavana of Rav Shimon Gamliel here in this Mishnah, when he says Hakol Kiminhag ha-medina, is to make a chiluk in a different way. It's a shliach sheshina, and he wrote the get in a way that's different from the tzivui hal mishaleach, and be asud the negiyah b'poshut, if in that particular location the minhag has it that they write a get poshut. The Ovid Le Mekusha, Inami Vyasa, the Nehigi Mekusha, or the Ovid Le Poshut, is Kuliamalo Pligi, the Vadaik Feda. If there was a Shinui in the way the Shliach wrote the get, and that deviates from the Minhag ha-medina, in that Medina, for example, they write a Mekusha and he went ahead and wrote a Poshut, or vice versa. Is everybody agrees, all the Tanoim and Abraisa will agree, in our Mishnah will agree, that for sure there's a Kepeda. You have to write a get the way it was meant to be written. No, if the Megarish says to the Shliach, write me a get, and he doesn't explain whether it's specified, whether it should be Poshet or Makushar, the Shliach, the Sofer, has to write a Kiminhag ha-medina, and if he makes any changes, the get will be possible. And that seems to be universally accepted. Ki pligi, but what is the subject of the machlokes here in this Mishnah between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the other Tanoim, the Asra Dinehigi Bain Bepashud Bain Bimakushar? In that particular Medina, they are customary to write it either way, Pashud or Makushar. You know, laissez-faire kind of philosophy. Omar Leidem Shaleach told the Shliach, Ovid Li Pashut, He authorized him to write a get poshut for him. The azalvi offered mekushar, and the shliach decided, I don't care what the baal amagarish is going to tell me. I'm going to make it into a get mekushar. Is in such a case, even though to write a get mekushar is not a shinui from being like a medina, it doesn't violate the accepted custom. But nevertheless, Meir Sover, the Tanakam and Reb Chanina would say in such a case, Kafeda, that since the Mishaleach decides that he wants a get poshut, Bedafka, that's what he wants, that's what he commissioned the Shliach to do. And the Shliach was Mishana, and instead of giving him a get poshut, he wrote him a get mekushar. That's when it's possible, according to the various Tanot. Up until Reb Shem Gamliel in the Seif Mar, Reb Shem Gamliel Savar, Mare Mokum Hulo. The Mishalech is just simply trying to make it easier for the Shliach, and he tells him, get Poshut. But in truth, he would be very happy if the Shliach made him a get Makushar. In other words, if it's difficult, Im Yiksha Olav Lichtov get Makushar, Rashayu Lichtov get Poshut, Achim Kosav get Makushar, Afshu Kosher, Shoskim and Angwindina. Reb Shem Gamliel is just pointing out that when the commission was given, when the Megarish authorized the writing of the get, he may have implied that, you know what, if it's difficult for you to create a get Makushar, why don't you create a get Poshut? But nevertheless, he would be more than happy to accept a get mekushar, and therefore the get is kosher. Again, as long as there was no shidim from Minhag HaMedina. In any event, what we have is that Reb Shem Gamliel also agrees to the svara of Mara Mokum Hulo, and when a man appoints a shliach to do something kal, something relatively easy, his intention was to make it easier on the shliach. But if the shliach decides to up the ante and to do a davar kaved yosef, something that's more difficult, is that's not called the shinui midato shel hamishaleach. Now, we said that there were three tanoim who agreed with this principle of Mara Mokum Hulo, the third of which is Rabbi Lazar. Where is that? Rabbi Lazar Omer, he has this not in a Mishnah. Ha Omer le Isha Sha'omra is Kabali Giti. Mi Makom Ploni, she sent the shliach to such a place to receive the get. The shliach went v'kibla as gita mi Makom Acher. He received the get for her at a different place, not the place that she had specified is possible. The get is invalid. That's called shinui midas ha'isha. Rabbi Elazar Machshir. Rabbi Elazar says it's all okay. Alma Kosover, we see the Reb Lazar of the opinion that Mara Mokom Hilo. In other words, Reb Lazar is pointing out that when she told the Shliach to receive the get at a certain place, she meant to make it easier for him. Her kavanah was not that he has to receive the get in that place. She was giving him a place which she thought he'll be able to easily receive the get from her baal. But she has no kpeda if he receives the get from a different place. So now we have three Tanoim, Sach HaKol, who hold Mara Mokom Hilo. Omar Ula Machlokes, the Chachomim and Reb Shimon are arguing in the case of the Mekadesh who misled the woman Lishvach. Is B'Shevach Mamon, if the, you know, the upgrading, so to speak, of the Kesef Kedushin was financial, and therefore, Reb Shimon says, Mara Mokom Hilo, that she would be very happy if she got something even more expensive. Or, for example, if he's Makadishar on the condition that he's an Ani, a poor person, V'nimtza Shu Asher, turns out that he's a rich guy. Is in this case, Rabbi Shimon was Makadish, that Mara Mokom Hilo, it's logic that she would really prefer that which is more expensive. Or in this case of the t'nai that the Mekadesh makes about himself, if the Mekadesh is Asher, that's all in monetary matters. Aval b'shevach yuchsin, In Dina Yuchsin, there's a whole hierarchy of who's more miyuchas than someone else. You know, like a Kohen is more miyuchas than a Levi. And a Nasin, who's not miyuchas in any great shape, but he's better, he's more miyuchas than a Mamzer. And therefore, the question is, what if a man, again, misled the woman that he's being Makadish, but by telling her that, you know, I'm a Nosin. I mean, he told her that he's a Mamzer. That's the case. Aval B'Shevach Yuchsin means he told her that he's a Mamzer, that he can't marry anyone. And then she finds out that he's a Nosin. The Nosin is B'chlal only a P'sul D'Rabbanon. Is Divrei HaKol Eina Mekudeshes? In such a case, since it's not Shevach Mamon, but rather Shevach Yuchsin, even Reb Shimon would agree that the Kedushin is invalid. My Taima. Misana D'Rav Mekare Lo Be'ina. This is some sort of mushal. He says, I don't want, she's basically saying, I don't want a larger shoe than what fits the foot. What fits my foot is a smaller shoe. I don't want this big shot, you know, he's a miyuchas, he's going to lord it over me, he's going to tell me, oh, I'm so-and-so, and Yashvach Yuchsin. That's not something that she wants to get into. Tanya Nami Hochi, and we have a brisa to support the opinion of Ula. Moda Reb Shimon im hito l'shevach yuchsin eina mekudeshes. Omer Avashi masnisin nami deka. Our Mishnah, if you read it carefully, would also seem to support Ula. Diktoni, the Mishnah says that a man says to a woman, "Arei mekudesh li almenas shani kohen." Vinimtza Levi, Levi vinimtza Kohen, Nasin vinimtza Mamzer, Mamzer vinimtza Nasin. In all these cases of misleading of Kedushei Tos, the Kedushin is invalid for all of Polig. Reb Shimon doesn't say a word. Why didn't Reb Shimon disagree? In the cases of Almanas Shani Levi vinimtza Kohen, or Almanas Shani Mamzer v'nimtza Nosin. In other words, in all these cases, there's a tos l'shevach for the benefit of the Isha. Then why didn't the Mishnah mention this case of Yuchsin, of Shvach Yuchsin? Why was it left out of the Mishnah? And the answer is, below Polig Reb Shimon, because even the Mishnah wants to indicate that even Reb Shimon would agree that if he fooled her in a way that's for her benefit, so to speak, hitol sol l'shvach, she should be mikudeshes. Because again, he's misleading her, but he's upgrading and giving her a greater benefit for the Kedushin, more of a Yichus. No, says Ula, after all, Reb Shimon didn't breathe a word here to express his dissenting view regarding Tos L'Shevach. And the answer is because Tos L'Shevach in Yuchsin is not going to be like Tos L'Shevach in Dini Mominos, and you cannot validate the Kiddushin if there was a Tos Binyan Yuchsin, even if that Tos is L'Shevach. Maskif La Mar Bravashi. Ravashi had brought a Diuk from our Mishnah, and Mar Bravashi says that Diuk is not valid, and why not? Ela diktani, the Mishnah says, Amanashi Yeshli Bas Oshivcha Migudelis. The Ainla is Almanas She'ainlo. And this is a case of Bas and Shivcha Gedola Vi Yeshlo. The Shevach Mamanu Hachinami Delo Pligi. So let's understand what is the problem raised here by Mar Bravashi. He claims that the proof from the Mishnah that even in a case where Reb Shimon disagrees, for sure, nobody would deny that he disagrees, and yet he's not mentioned at all. In other words, you're building on the fact that the Mishnah omitted Reb Shimon's machlokes. I'll prove to you that the Mishnah does, in fact, omit Reb Shimon's plukta, even though definitely, without question, Reb Shimon argues. Because the Mishnah has a case of a man who says to a woman, Almanas, sheyesh li bas o shivcha migudeles. Migudeles means she's a more mature shivcha. And if he, the Makadesh, is bringing into the marriage someone who can really help out, who can alleviate a large percentage of the burden from off the shoulders of the miskadeshes of the wife, and it turns out ve'enlo, he doesn't have this woman to bring into the marriage, or if he says almanas she'enlo, and this is a case where it's going to be l'shevach, he says he doesn't have a daughter or a shivcha megudeles, and yeshlo, it turns out that he does. And yet the Mishnah says that there's no way you can validate the Kedushin, and Rav Shimon doesn't seem to argue with that. He's not mentioned, at least omitted by the Mishnah. And it's a case of Shevach Mamanu, because again, these people, had he actually brought them into the marriage, which in the Sefer he actually did, that enhances the financial situation of this woman, meaning she would want to pay someone to help her out. She has built-in help. Is if that be the case, despite the fact that Rav Shimon for sure would disagree, and he would validate the marriage in this last case of Shevach Momen, yet his name is not mentioned, is Hachinami Delopolik. We can apply that same rule to the case where he was Matar Binyone Yuchsin. And if it's Lishvach, then Rav Shimon would actually disagree and he would validate the marriage. Ella, Tipolik Beresha, Vuah Din Lesefa. But rather, we have the case of Makadishisha, Almanashu, Ani, Venimtsashu, Ashir. And Rabbi Shimon argues, and in that case, he is. Machshir the Kiddushin, he validates the Kiddushin, is therefore there was no need for the Mishnah to mention that Reb Shimon argues in the case of Almanash Yesh Lo Bas O Shivcha, and certainly Reb Shimon would validate the marriage. Hachadami Polig Beresha V'Adin L'Seifa. If that be the case, then in the case of Shvach Yuchsin, there also Rabbi Shim would validate the marriage, and the fact that his name is omitted from the Mishnah as the Bar Pluta, that doesn't prove a thing, because we know that Rabbi Shimon argues with this Mishnah, and therefore we don't have to always, you know, Kechruchio Kliyo, go through every single case and mention that Rabbi Shimon argues. And therefore, it could very well be that Reb Shimon would say Maramaka Mulo, even in a case of Tos Binyone Yuchsin. The Gemara says, Hachi Hashta. You can't make this a question. In the case where he says, Talmanashi Yeshlo Bas O Shivcha, Reb Shimon didn't have to disagree, because that's clearly a case of Shevach Mamon. Idi V'idi de Shevach Mamon. In other words, it's a case where he said, Almanas Shani Oni turns out to be an Asher, or the Sefer. Almanas Sheyesh Lo Bas O Shivcha, or the other way around, Ein Lo Bas O Shivcha. There was no need to differentiate and quote the sheet of the dissenting view of Rav Shimon, because it's all Shevach Mamon is Polig Bereshav Vadin B'Seifa. The Mishnah would let it be, so to speak, leave it for our logical deduction to assume that Rav Shimon would disagree in the Seifa to the same extent that he disagreed in the Reish. But Hacha, now you're talking about a case of Almanashu Levi Venimtsashu Kohen de Shevach Yuchsinu. Here, since there's a logical possibility that Reb Shimon would agree that the Kedushin are invalid, she doesn't want such a miyuchas de kabal, is him Isa de Polig Nisle. Certainly, if Reb Shimon would disagree and he would be Maksha the Kedushin, even in a case of Shevach Yuchsin, That should have been recorded in the Mishnah. But from the fact that the Mishnah omitted it, it would certainly seem to be that Emhitas Abal bin Yonah Yuchsin, Eina Mekudeshes, even according to Reb Shimon, is Tos, no matter what kind of Tos was it, even Lishvach, if it's in Yonah Yuchsin, is Eina Mekudeshes. Evoy is saying, I could give you another answer. Hachanami Shevach Yuchsin. If a man is Mekadesh, a woman, Almanas, that he has a daughter, a Shivcha, that is also included on the Shevach Yuchsin. Why? Mi Savris Mai Megudeles Gdola Mamish. We thought the Shivcha Megudeles means that she's a little more mature. No, that's not what it means. Mai Megudeles Gadeles. Gadeles means she has a certain godless to her. You know, she has a certain chashivus. Let's say, for example, she was born to an Eved Ivri, and her father's very chashiv. I don't know what. In such a case, the Amra, now we're going to say that even Reb Shimon would agree that the Kiddushin are not valid. The Amra, he lo nichali de shakla mili minoi v'azda v'azla nadye kamei shivavosai. She says, I don't want to have a shivcha who's so important that, you know, she likes to talk to her neighbors, and anything that she sees in the house, she's already going to be talking to the neighbors. You know, and anything that's private will become public. I'll be booshed out. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon would be mowed in such a case that the Kiddushin are Kiddushe Tos. So the kunz here, the second answer, is that even the case of shivcha is not as we would have classified it, Shvach Mamon, but rather it's Shvach Yuchsin. Tona Rabbanon, we learned in a braisa, a man says to women, Arayat Mekudesh Li'amanas, Sha'ani Karyona. Now, what does Karyona mean? Karyona, does it mean that he's a bucky in all of Torah? No, it means I once learned, you know, when I was studying for my bar mitzvah, they taught me how to read a few psukim. Is Kevin Shekara Shalosha Pesukim Beis HaKnesses HaReizim Mekudeshes. The Tanai in this marriage is fulfilled if he can read three Pesukim in the Shul. That proves and establishes that he's Yodea Likros. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer Adshi Yikra V'Yitargem. If we're talking about his capability of being a Korei B'Torah, so it's not just enough that he can read three Pesukim in the Torah, he has to be Metarging them. What does that mean, Metarging them? So Pashas, it means he's able to read the Targum Unkelus. But again, I don't know if that's a big kunz. So Gemara says, Yitargem Midaite. What are we talking about? Maybe we're talking about a person who's Metargem based on his own understanding of the Pesukim. You know, it's very creative. For Asanya, we learned to the Brice from Shimon Omer, call a Mitargim Posikitsu Rosso Hareze Badai. If a person interprets or translates the Pesukim as they are, Kitsu Rosso, in other words, a literal translation, word for word, that's called a Badai. In other words, it's quite frequent that the Torah doesn't mean the literal translation of a word. So let's give, maybe if we can give one example. Let's say the Pasuk says in Shmos Chav Gimel, Lo Sa'ana Al Riv, which if you translate it literally, it means don't get involved in this judgment. For a person to say so, he's a Badoi. He's a Shakran, he's a liar. That's not true at all. Obviously, if a man translates Lo Sa'ana al Riv as don't get involved in the din, then for sure we know he's a badai, he's a shakran, because that's not what the pasuk means. If you take a look at Unkelus, he says Lo Tismana mila alpha ma debi inoch al dina, meaning don't refrain from saying and expressing your opinion in this din. So be that as it may, you see very clearly that a person doesn't have the right to be creative and deviate from the Targum. He's a Badoi if he does so. V'amosif olav. And if a person decides to add something to the Bira Mishnah and embellish it even further, like according to his will, harezem, acharef, umagadef. By adding something, he's even in a worse category. He's not just a shakron, he's even a macharef, umagadef. He's mevaze HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's interpreting the words of Hashem, shalo kilchasa. And we have no right to be metargame and to interpret something against and undermine, contradict that which the Chachom were mekabel. Whenever there's a Kabbalah's Chachomim, that has to be respected. And there's no room for creativity. Elamai Targum. So what did Rabbi Yehuda actually mean in this braisa when he says that he should not be Metargim Kitsu Rosso Targum Didan? In other words, it doesn't mean that in the Tanai that she made or he made to her, he has to be able to read and be Metargim, but rather he has to know how to read it. And he has to know how to read Targum Unkelus. Targum Unkelus was also given in Har Sinai. So how would he prove that he has that kium of interpreting the Pesukim? Because once again, if he uses his own creative abilities, and we gave the example from Lotan al Riv, where he deviated from the Targum Unkelus, then he's a shakron. And if he enhances by adding things to the pasuk, that's a machari from a gadev, and that's a bizayin takodesh baruch hu. So certainly we can only, as I said before, accept the targum. That targum represents kabbalas chachamenu zichronim levracha. Ela my targum. What did Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says that he's got to be metargim as well? It's not enough that he reads the psukim. Achi yikra v'yitargim, says the Gemara, my targum targum didon. This is a reference to Targum Unkelus, which is considered nitna lemoshe misinai. So when you have this condition that was stipulated in the marriage, it means, number one, he could read the Tanakh properly, and number two, and also he knows Tamei HaMikra, because again, he's reading three Pesukim of the Beis HaKnesses, and number two, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he has to be able to be Korei Umetarge. That requires quite a bit of a scholar to be able to read off the Targum, and I would say even if you're reading it in the original, it's quite challenging. Bahani Mili, when is she Mekudeshes? If he knows how to read three Psukim, the Amar La, when she said to him, I'm sorry, when he said to her, Hareat Mekudeshes Li Aldas Sheani Karyona. Oh, now notice. The emphasis here is on the word Karyona. There are different ways of saying someone who's capable of reading. You could say he's kara. You could say he is yodea karyana. Avolim omar la. He said to Aret Mekudesh Li Aldas, de kra ana, kra ana, not karyana, but kra ana, is then we get into a much more intense possibility of reading. Why? Because krono means adekario raiso neviu ksuve b'diuka. He's got to be able to read all of Tanakh b'digduk, you know, it's properly with the vocalization meticulous. And since the mashmos of the word kara, right, or kra, is yodea likros, is called tarku b'tsura miduyekas, he is someone who knows how to read all of Tanakh in a meticulous way, then and only then is the Kedushin vow that Tanai has been fulfilled. Another din, a man says to woman, Reb Mekudesh Li Almanas Sha'ani Shone. Okay, not like the previous case, Kra'ana, but Ani Shone. And here we have a machlokes amoroim about what knowledge it would take to fulfill this condition of ani shone. Chizkiyo omar halachos. Now, shone means that he has something that dates back to Har Sinai. He has halachos that were given. Rabbi Yochanan omar Torah. Rabbi Yochanan interprets this harayat mukudeshesli al menashe nishona. He says it's Rabbi Meir who holds that halachos lemoshe misinai. Rabbi Yehuda omer medrash. So what? I'm sorry. What is Mishnah? I forgot to mention that. Sorry. Again, until now we've been talking about Almanas Shanishona. Now we want to talk about Almanas. What's the language here? Almanas Ezui Mishnah. Okay, Mishnah. So Rabbi Meir Omer Alochos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Medrash. So again, we're going back to the Loshen HaBraisa. And so the Kiddushin were given on condition. If it's a condition Shani Shona, then we have the Machlokas Chizkia and Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara is now asking from another Braisa on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that when he said Shani Shona, Almanas Shani Shona, he means Shona Torah Shebichsav. But now the Braisa seems to assume that Almanas Shani Shona is not Torah Shebichsav, but rather it's Medrash. That's the impression you get. Because it says Ezui Mishnah, Rabbi Meir Omer Alochos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Medrash. Medrash is a reference to Sifra Sifri, which are Halochos and Joshus Minak Suvim. And those parts of Torah are the closest to Torah Shebichsav. But it's not enough to know Torah Shebichsav. That's not enough to fulfill the condition. You also need Medrash. Or, alternatively, halachos. So now we turn to Mem Tes Amud Beis. My Torah, Midrash Torah. In other words, when Rabbi Yochanan said that the word Shona means that he studies Torah Shebichsav, what he meant is Medrash Torah Shebichsav. Now, it's the limit of Sifra v'Sifri. They're deriving halachas from the psukim, from the verses themselves. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, who said that Mishnah is Medrash, then there's no need to know halachas. You have to know the midrashim that extract halachas from the psukim, from the mikros. And this is against Chizkiyah, because Chizkiyah is another opinion. His opinion is that Mishnah means halachos. Bahani mili, when do we say that either it's a reference to halachos or to Medrash? Is the Omar Allah, he says to her, Harei Mekudesh Li Al Das, She Tanina. Tanir means I know how to learn. Aval im amr la. If he says to her, Mukadeshisli, Al das what? Tanana, I'm one of the Bali Mishnah. Is ad Tani Ilchasa. Sifra v'sifri v'tol sefta. Until he gets the status of being a genuine bona fide Talmud Chacham, then we're not going to accept that this is a fulfillment of the condition of Tanana. Then we have the case, Aret Mukdesh Li Amanasha Ni Talmud. Ein Omrim Kishimon ben Azik Shim ben Zoma, who were outstanding Talmidim, brilliant giants. They weren't called Talmidei Chachamim per se because they didn't have smicha, and there weren't any other Gedolim in their time period like them. Ela kol shesholem also b'chol makom. What does this mean? Kol shesholem also b'chol makom. Davrecha b'talmud v'yomer. Vafilu b'mesechta dekala. That if he says hamanash ani talmud, what does that mean, talmud? It means, says Reb Shimon, well, actually, we don't know who the author of this braisa is. Almanash ani talmid, ena omrim kishim ben aza kishim ben zoma. He doesn't have to be such a great outstanding scholar. Ella, you can ask him, and he knows. Again, Reb Shimon ben aza and Shimon ben zoma, those are the talmidim who are so outstanding, even though they didn't get smicha, but they were the greatest of their generation. And I am, according to the Tanai of the Mekadesh, Almanash Ani, if that Tanai is coming to fruition, I'm on the highest level of being a Gadol B'Torah. Because you can ask me anywhere and I'll give you an answer. Dover Acher. I'm sorry, you can ask me any Dover Echad B'Talmud of Yomelo, he'll tell him immediately an answer. V'afilu B'Mesechta Kala. Even in a Masechta, which is not famous for Iyun and getting into depth, nevertheless, he has a Shem Talmudol because he knows Masechta Kala. He's Almanash Ani Chacham. If he's Mekadisho with the condition that he is a Chacham, Ein Omrim, he doesn't have to be Kechachme Yavne. So again, in the previous case, he said Almanash Ani Talmud. He said he doesn't have to be on the level of Rab Shim ben Azi, Shim ben Zoma, that are called Talmidim only because they didn't get smicha, but there were no others in their generation that knew Torah like them. But nevertheless, if you're asking what it means Almanash Ani Talmud, it is a very high standard. Called Shasholan also b'chol makom dover echav b'talmud v'yomer. He's got to be able to immediately answer any question, and even a question from Masechta Kala. And if he says Almanash Ani Chacham, we don't say that he has to be a Chacham like Chachmei Yavne, like Rabbi Akiva Chavera of the highest level of the greatest Tanoim. Ela Shasholan also Dvar Chachma b'chol makom v'yomer lo. Now, in the previous discussion, it says Shasholan also b'chol makom. Here it says Shasholan also Dvar Chachma b'chol makom v'yomer. If you look at Rashi, which is about 10 lines down on Dibra Masel Dvar Chachma, he says, Milsa Detalya B'Svar, that you can ask him any question, and he's so oriented in the sugya, and he's so well-trained in the methodology, that he can answer the question based on Svar. Almanash Ani Gibor, Eina Omrim Kavne Ben-Er Kiyov Ben-Sriya, he was the great physical, prowess. That's not what we're referring to. This kind of gvura, el kol shechaver of misyarim menu neisha gvura. Also, people are very, he's very awe-inspiring because he's a big guy. He doesn't have to be like Avner Ben-Er. Amanasha niyosher ena omri kirabalos ben charsom. Rashi quotes Masechta Yuma. Hiniach lo aviv elef sfinos biyam u'kregdiv elef ayoros sheb biyab basha. This Rabbi Lozar ben Charsom was quite wealthy. He inherited from his father 1,000 yachts that would be used to sail from 1,000 different ports. So that Richie doesn't have to be. El kosher bnei mechadin also mipnei oshro. People consider him a rich person, and they respect him as such. Almanash ani tzadik. This is one of the most famous Gemaras in Masechta Kiddushin. My Rebbe used to talk about this in his Shuvah Drashas. Almanash ani tzadik afilu rosh ha-gomer mekudesh ha-shema hira tshuva b'daito. Imagine, he says that the condition is that I'm a tzadik, he's a rosh ha-gomer. and yet there's a suffik kedusha because maybe he had hirurei tshuva, which would make him into a tzaddik gomor. Hirurei tshuva, that's without vidui. I mean, the Rambam in his opening halacha till his tshuva requires vidui. Apparently, there are two different dimensions of tshuva, and one of them actually requires vidui as a mechaper. The other is in terms of the change of the status of the person. And that could be achieved without vidui through hirur tshuva. Now we have the flip case. Halmanash eni rasha, afilu tzadik gomur mikudeshes shema hirur dvar avodas kochav medaito. Wow, this is wild. If he had the status of a tzadik gomur, was still afraid that maybe he is a rasha. Why? Because perhaps he had a hirur of avodas kochavim in his mind, that makes him into a rasha. What about a person who's a tzaddik and has muchzakus? Usually we're not choshesh when there's a chazak of a person being a tzaddik that he became a rasha. And the answer has to be that this is a special case because he said al menashe ani rasha. What was he thinking? Obviously he thought that he was a rasha, or the possibility exists that he was a rasha. Now we have a shtickel agadita here. Asara kavim chachma yardu liolam tisha notlerit yisrael v'echad kol ha'olam kula. So apparently 90% of the chachma that came down from the world, 9 out of 10 kavim of chachma that came down from on high, chachma means Torah and Derech Eretz, is were taken by the land of Israel. The Barasha says, Yardu liolam haynu lefi agzera mishamayim. Yardu means they came down from Shamayim because God decreed that they could. And what happens here, 90% of these kavim of chachma are taken by Eretz Yisrael. The echad kol ha'olam kulo, one kav of chachma is left for the rest of the world. Asara kavin yofi yardu liyom tisha not liyushalayim echad kol ha'olam kulo. 90% of the yofi that came down was taken by Yerushalayim. Asara kavim ashiris yardu liyom tisha not liyushalayim echad kol ha'olam kulo. 10 kavim of wealth came down to this world, and 90% of them were taken by Rome, and one of them by the remainder of the balance of the world. Now, we're talking about Ashirus. And what are we saying? That the Romium took Ashirus. Rome is considered Esav. And one could say that Esav inherited this world. Any osher in this world is attributable to Romi Hu Esav. Asor kavim anius yardu lam tisha notlo bechol echod v'echod kol ha'olam kulu asor kav. Okay, so what do we have here by anius? Is tisha notla bavel? These women were moving around, and one of them, and only one of them, was left in Bavel, and that's called Chanufa, and Gasas Ruach went over to Elam, Shmamina. Eini, the Gemara says, is it really possible that there's no Gasas Ruach in Bavel because it all packed out and went to Elam? Vamamar Simon Legasus Anius. In other words, where there's a lot of gasus, that's where we find a lot of anius. Vanius bibavel hudiko. We spoke about before that 9/10 of all the anius in the world is in Bavel. So that would certainly mean that there was gasus ruach. The Gemara answers, my anius de Torah. The anius what kind of anius is indicative of gasus ruach when we say that simon legas anius. That's only anius the Torah, that gasei ruach are not zochet to study Torah. But in Bavel, there was plenty of Torah. And the reason is because there weren't gasei ruach there. But Elam, that's where there's no Torah because there's gasei ruach dichsiv. And how do I know that there was no Torah in Elam? The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Achos lanu ketana v'shadayim ein la. And we interpret it to mean that there are no chachamim over there. She'ein mitzuyim lem anoshim hachafetzim lilmod mi torasam. There's a dearth of scholars or potential scholars who would want to soak up the Torah. And therefore, there's a mashal here to an isha she'ein yechol lahanik, that she cannot nurse. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Zo Elam, the pasuk is referring to a country called Elam, shezochso lilmod, there were chachamim like Daniel and Mordechai that were studying Torah, but v'lo lochso lilamet. But there were no people who wanted to soak up that Torah. Asara kavim, gvura yardu liolam tishu notlu parsiim. So 9/10 of the gvura, of the power that came down to us, were taken over by the parsiim. Asara kavim shal kinim, yardu liolam tishu notlu modai. Modai took 9/10 of the kinim, which is something despicable. And the rest was given one kav to the rest of the world. Asar kavim kshofim yardu lam tishu notu mitzrayim. Mitzrayim got all the kishuf. Asar kavim negoyim yardu lam tishu notlu chazirim. Asar kavim znus yardu lam tishu notlu aravya. In other words, 9/10 of the negoyim were taken by the chazirim. And 9/10 of Znus were taken by the Aravya. And 9/10 of Azus is Yardu Liolam and Tishanotlu Meshon. There's a country called Meshon. They took most of the Mamzerus. Asar Kavim Sicha Yardu Liolam Tishanotlu Noshim. The women folk have the ability to speak 9/10. I once heard from Rav Alper of Shalom that even in the last kav, it was split between the men and the women. Asar kavim shichrus yardu liolam tishu notlu kushim. Kushim took the drinking, the alcoholic beverages. Asar kavim sheni yardu liolam tishu notlu avodim v'yachnud lotu kolom kula. 9/10 of sleep were taken by the avodim. In any event, we had the Mishnah earlier on Daf Mem Chesam and Beis that if a man misleads a woman, el lignai, in the a kind of object that he gives to her, or he's makadishar on the condition that he's an usher and it turns out to be an ani, in these cases the kedushin is invalid. We had a machlokes, chachom, and Rav Shimon in the case where he misled her, but he gave her better than what she bargained for. The next Mishnah, which Amir Shem will study tomorrow, continues to clarify in what situations when he misled her the Kedushin is valid, and what situations are the Kedushin invalid. For example, if he's Makadishar on condition that he has a certain Maila, or a certain Chisaron, or that he owns a certain kind of property or possessions, if there's no truth to what he says, then the next mission that we're going to do tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, establishes that the Kedushin is invalid, whether it's Lishvach or Lignai. And in Mirtz Hashem, that's what we'll continue with. Stop here.